Welcome to episode 92 of Movie Dudes. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
We have a random ass episode this week. No real new movies in the theaters, at least not since the last time we recorded. And we just both saw some really random stuff. I guess I'll wrap up talking about the Before trilogy, which I started talking about last week. These are the Richard Linklater movies. I talked about the first one last week. It's, you know, this couple, they meet on a train, they get off, they walk around Vienna for a night. They have to say goodbye to each other. And Richard Linklater has made two other movies in this series where he kind of checks up on them like roughly 10 years later each time and what's going on with their lives. And I don't want to say what happens because, honestly, I think that it's a great trilogy. And I think knowing the premise of Before Sunset and Before Midnight kind of spoils it a little bit. It's better to go in just kind of watch these movies and be surprised by where it goes. I guess all three of the movies are very, you know, they're two people walking around talking, essentially. But in Sunset and Midnight, they start off very slow. And, you know, it's just a lot of talking about kind of random, you know, I was giving examples last week of these, like, kind of philosophical life discussions that they have. Same thing here. But the conversations in the second and third one both build towards something bigger and better, I think. The conversations get more dramatic and pointed, and in one of them there's like a 30-minute fight that happens. Not physical fight, just talking. It's all talking. That's all you're getting out of this series. But I think it's a really great series, and I'm a big Linklater fan to begin with. I really like Days Confused. I like Boyhood. I think that this Before trilogy might be the best thing that he's done. So I don't know. I don't know what your take on them would be if you ever gave him a shot, but I think that it's a very good, honest look at. Well, I'd say the first movie is a good like romance movie, and then as the series goes on, it's like a just an honest look at like getting older and things like that, and also relationships and. I don't just basic life stuff. They're good. They're very good. I like them a lot. And I don't want to say what the premise of the second or third one is because I don't want to spoil them. I think the movie people should check these movies out. Just, you know, if you check on them every 10 years. And I kind of hope he keeps doing this kind of like the Up series, like where it's like 10 years from now, he checks in on them again, like what's going on in these characters' lives. Who knows? I don't know if you thought that Before Midnight was the end of it. If it is, it's a good ending to the series, but there's I would definitely like to see, you know, if he decided to, I'd like to see another one. But yeah, they're awesome. I don't even know if I want to give them the score. Like, the individual movies are good to great, but take the whole trilogy as a whole, it's an awesome piece of filmmaking, so. Highly recommended with the caveat that you have to sit there and have an attention span and watch people talk for really long. Like there's scenes that go on for 12, 15, 20, 30 minutes of just conversation. Interesting, I think always. So yeah, I'll wrap that up. I was happy I checked them out. And we're switching gears. We're going all over the place here.
Oh yeah. It's a crazy night.
Chris checked out the movie that we never know we wanted and didn't know it existed until this week. Hard Target 2.
Yeah, we certainly didn't know we wanted it, and I'm pretty sure we still don't want it. But yeah, Hard Target 2. Hard Target is it's a 1993 movie. Directed by John Woo, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's probably like the best Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, like in terms of acting and cinematography. I mean, there are fun Van Damme movies, but it's the best actual movie. It was directed by John Woo, who is just coming off of, I think, Hard Boiled, which is a fantastic like Hong Kong action movie. And he went on to do like, you know, Face Off, and there's a bunch of other stuff, but he's kind of faded away. He was at one point probably the I mean, if not the best action director, definitely up there. People were kind of jumping all over him. Hard Target 2 has zero to do with Jean-Claude Van Damme, John Woo, anybody that had anything to do with that. It is directed by Roel Rene. I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Like, I'm looking over his stuff. He evidently directed Death Race 2 and 3, two other movies that probably didn't need to happen. He directed The Marine 2. I mean, that's where this guy's coming from. He kind of directs garbage, and that's what this movie is. It takes the premise of Hard Target, which was like rich people hunting humans for sport. It takes
Oh,
that
cool.
concept here. Scott Adkins, who is evidently he's going to be in Doctor Strange, probably not anything big there, but he plays the main character here, a kind of depressed MMA fighter. He retired from professional MMA fighting after accidentally killing his friend in the ring in a fight, and so now he's off in like Bangkok or somewhere like that. He gets picked up by Robert Nepper's this guy who used to he played a character on Prison Break, kind of sleazy looking dude. He plays this guy Aldrich, who is setting up a fight, and this fight happens to take place in Myanmar, which I believe used to be the Republic of Burma. So, yeah, not a great place to go visit on holiday. They get there, the army's kind of cordoned it all off, and he starts introducing them to these other people, and they're all like, "Oh man, yeah, we know who you are. You're like a celebrity. Like, you should have got a title fight after that fight, but you know, bad luck, whatever." And then the news breaks to this guy that it's not an MMA fight he signed up for. It's a fight for his life, and he here's $1 million in rubies. If you can reach the border of Burma, you can have them. Otherwise, you'll be dead because these guys are going to hunt you down. And he then runs through the jungles of Myanmar and is hunted down. The action's terrible. It's like TV level action, maybe below that at points. They have like Rhona Mitra gets second billing on this. She's kind of a pretty big TV actress. She's also been in a few movies. She was in one of the Underworld movies, and there was something else she was in. Year's Doomsday, which was a Neil Marshall flick. But like when you're billing her as your number two, and she's in the movie for maybe 15 minutes, like things are bad. This movie is not good. It's a cool concept, but it's not a good film at all. It's not worth watching. I don't understand why 23 years later you decided to make a movie and tie it to the heart. Like, the concept is fine, but you didn't need to call it Hard Target 2. There's no legacy tie to it. It's.
So the only connection is the basic premise of getting hunted down by rich people.
Yeah, like there's nobody from the first movie in this. There's like except for the concept. Like this guy, the guy Aldrich, he is just kind of he puts this together to like this is something he does in these fringe countries where money talks, and if you have enough money, you can do whatever the hell you want. So yeah, not a good film. I don't recommend watching it.
You want to give a score on it?
We'll go with two. It's watchable, but like it's technically a movie, and it doesn't fall apart. Like we've seen worse things than this, but there are so many better options out there. So
But for me, I never saw Hard Target. You're saying do check out Hard Target?
I would watch. It's fun. Like it's a 1990, like an early 1990s action movie. So know what you're getting into. Like,
Yeah,
some
well,
of the
I know Van
goofy,
Damme is in it, so.
right. So it's a Van Damme movie. One, he's not even all of, like, the caliber of Schwarzenegger, who isn't a great actor by himself. And it's the era where, right around that time where it was, Steven Seagal and that stuff was the big draw at the box office, and that's what Hard Target is. It's a cool concept though, and Wilford Brimley's in the original, so.
Well, like, dude, isn't that like basically the concept of that Ice T movie? Wasn't that an Ice T movie? Like Most Dangerous Game or something?
It could
I
be.
forget, what was that called?
Most
Same
dangerous.
thing. It was like Ice T. Was that? Yeah, it was Ice T. I want to say getting hunted by like fucking rich dudes, like some shit like back in the day, and it was fun for what it was, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's what Hard Target is. Like, it's not. If you want to watch a great John Woo film, I would say like watch Face Off or go back and watch Hard Boiled. But it's fun. Like, it's a good
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It's has a cool concept. Like, I kind of like the idea of, somebody that's being hunted because they're viewed to be inconsequential to society. Like, nobody's gonna miss them. And they pick on the wrong one, and Jean-Claude Van Damme fights back and wins. Like,
Yeah.
there's nothing, like, there's no redeeming in Hard Target 2, so. What else did you
Well,
see, Jeff? You saw some other stuff too.
I'm already in the Halloween spirit.
We're a little
Yeah,
early, but
fucking a month early. Yeah, that's fine. It gets earlier every year. 'Cause, I don't know. I just need an excuse to geek out and watch a whole bunch of horror movies that are generally not great or I've seen a billion times or whatever. And last year, I want to say it was last year, whenever it came out, they came out. Shout Factory or Scream Factory or whatever it is, they came out with a Halloween box set with like all the Halloween movies. And I got the fucking, like, I got the super limited edition one that had like five extra discs. So you have like the producer's cut of Halloween 6, you have a whole bonus disc with documentaries on it. And like, just fucking, like, if you're a Halloween fan, this Blu-ray collection is just like a holy grail. And been kind of since then, like kind of slowly going through the movies with my girlfriend. Like we watched Halloween 1 and 2. I think last year we watched Halloween 1 and 2, and we watched 4. And I think maybe earlier this year we watched the Rob Zombie remakes of 1 and 2. Right, so gotten to the real like once the series really fell off and stuff. We decided to watch Halloween 5, and it's the one that I've for the longest time said is the worst Halloween movie, and that's probably right. You've seen all these movies, right? I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. I think it's probably the worst one.
What, five?
Yeah.
I mean, out of what, the first
Okay.
six?
Just fucking, I would say out of the whole fucking lot of them, but
Think Resurrection is pretty bad.
well, yeah, that's one like I almost don't count Resurrection. I don't know, but let's say out of the first five, though, I would say it's the
Sure, I could
worst.
see that.
I don't
I
think,
don't hate
I
five,
don't think.
but.
Well, that's we'll get into it, but like, I don't think six like gets like way better or
No.
anything. Like, I think if anything, like six is really bad, but
I mean, yeah, they I think one and two are great, great horror movies, and then I just kind of like the concept of Michael Myers and four, five,
yeah.
six. I think H2O is okay.
I think H2O is good. I think it's better than okay, but like that movie smartly ignored 4 through 6. Like it was just like, yeah, that never happened. Even though 4 is okay, I think 4 is okay. Anyways, I don't know.
Which is the one where Dr. Loomis shows up at the, because they have his, what's it, his niece? Is that who Danielle Harris plays?
She is Jamie Lee Curtis's niece,
Okay. So
I think.
technically, Michael's niece as well. Does he
Or no,
visit
I'm
her in a
sorry. My
hospital in
bad.
that one? Or is that in five?
He visits the niece.
Yeah, he goes to see, like, she's at some, like, sort of, she's at either a hospital or, like, a children's home.
That's in five.
Okay, yeah. So five is, five is a goofy movie. I haven't seen it in quite some time, but there's a scene when he goes and visits her, and at one point I watched it with all my friends, like, during Halloween, and we were just kind of, like, commentating over it. And he walks into the room, and he's wearing that, like, he always wears that, like, long trench coat, and he's kind of bundled up a bit in it, and it's like, "What's under the coat, Dr. Loomis?" He comes in, like, looking like a flasher.
Dude, he's ultra creepy. Dr. Loomis is ultra creepy with her in part five, where he's like,
Yes.
"Come on, Jamie, you little bitch, tell me where he is." Like, it's like she's like all in her face, like she's like
Nuts.
this traumatized. She's traumatized from whatever happened in part four, and he's just like getting all in her face, like, "You better help me, or Michael Myers is gonna kill everybody, you fucking bitch." And it's like a little 10-year-old girl.
Nuts, yeah.
Fucking great. But so anyways, I always thought it was the worst, and you know, watching it again the other night, like I definitely don't think it's good. There's so many bad things in it. Like, she's mutant it because from the first one, so she like which is like she was a fine kid. Why you did that, like why you thought that was necessary.
Right.
Annoying friend Billy who stutters in it. There's these two bumbling cops in it who, like, anytime they say something stupid, they play like fucking clown noises. Like, it'll just be like a horn going off. Like, it just doesn't fit at all. It's like, what? It's like these cartoon noises.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad things about it. But watching it again, I was like, dude, you know what? There's probably, like, maybe out of that first core five, it's the worst, but, like, the series is probably done worse than five. Like,
Yeah.
There are things like I think that the last half hour has some cool stuff. Like, there's one part where she's like falls down a laundry chute, and Michael Myers goes down in the basement after her, and he's like stabbing through the laundry chute trying to get her, and she's like stepping on his knife, like trying to get back up it. There's like really cool like way that they like get Michael Myers in this one, which is instead of like killing him, they like capture him and put him in jail. And I was just interesting seeing Michael Myers sitting in a jail with, like, for whatever reason, they put him in there with his mask on. But
Right, like you would leave his mask on, like he's
yeah.
some sort of Batman villain.
Yeah. And that is also the one where a man in black shows up and like blows up the police station and gets Michael Myers out of there at the end, which is like, I don't know. At the time when I was a kid, I was like, wow, like what is this? Because like I was cut off with the Halloween movies when I was a kid. So when I saw that, I had to wait for the next one to figure out what the hell that all meant. Like,
Right.
unfortunately, it was just a bunch of fucking nonsense. But like, it's interesting as a standalone thing where like this dude comes out of nowhere and busts him out. And we're like, well, that's at least something different, right? Like, I don't know. It's interesting at the very least. So yeah, anyways, yeah, that's my like rewatching again. Like I kind of realize I don't entirely hate it, but it's not good. It's funny, like I was watching the documentary on it, like because they have, you know, they have documentaries on every movie in the series in this. And the director they got was this guy Dominique Othedin-Girard, who like I think he had one film to his credit before that, and he's done nothing but TV movies since.
Okay.
And they threw him on this project. They started filming with no script. So
Oh.
the fact that it like follows part four and, you know, it somewhat tells the story at all is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Because who like is not a very good director. Like even the cast like talk about him in the documentary, and he's not in the documentary, but they talk about how much he sucks as a director. And this is a guy who sucks as a director with a film that had no script at first. So I don't know. It came out better than like it probably should have, but
Right. I
it's
mean,
still
that's
really
impressive.
low. Yeah. Still really low ranking in the series, and I don't know. I'd probably rate it somewhere between a 1 and a 2 out of
All
5 stars, but still bad. So yeah.
It's fun enough.
You saw all of it than that, although I don't know by how much. You saw, was it Now You See Me Too? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Now You See Me Too, which is a follow-up to Now You See Me, obviously. It's about magicians.
Yeah.
And Now You
You're.
See Me was a. F I like Now You See Me, the original. It's a goofy little
Yeah.
kind of magic heist movie, all about illusions and setting up this elaborate scam, this elaborate illusion. That was actually pretty interesting. It picks up sometime after that. The Horseman, which is a. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, and there was a fourth a woman that was in the original. Isla Fisher. She played the fourth member of the Horsemen. She's gone. She has left. They've replaced her with let's see here, Lizzie Kaplan. I don't really know who she is. She's cute. She's evidently the girlfriend in 127 Hours.
Okay.
The one that he keeps thinking back to. But I don't really know anything else she's been in. Anyway, it's not really important. She fills in that role. She's not the same person. She just fills it in. Mark Ruffalo, who was kind of the mastermind of the original scam. As an FBI agent has been trying to throw off the FBI from their trail this entire time. And they go about trying, like, they become like these social justice magicians. It's almost like where they're exposing bad guys through like magic tricks and illusions and shit. And they go to do this. Yeah, it's really goofy, but they go to do this at one of these like it's almost like an Apple type event where they're going to get ready to announce something, and they take it over and they start to kind of reveal what this guy is about, and the tables are turned on them by somebody else, and that like leads them on this whole kind of long train of what the hell is going on here and nonsense like that. That's They go all over the world. There's a whole bunch of different things that come into it. Daniel Radcliffe is in the movie as this like spoiled rich kid who's supposed to be dead, and they need the horseman to track something down and so that he can remain off the grid. It's goofy nonsense, but the cast is having a blast with it. It reminds me a lot of the Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Oceans movies, like.
Yeah.
But I particularly I think Ocean's 11 is actually a good movie. This isn't. It's just fun. Like, it's just like these people enjoy being on, like, acting with each other. They're having a good time. The special effects are cool. The illusions that they set up and pull off, like, and then they kind of reveal it to the audience how everything happens. It's all fun. It's just. It's fluff. Like, it's
Yeah.
not worth much more than like, oh, I'm gonna sit down and watch some like nonsense. 'Cause that's kind of what it is, so.
You think the first one is a good movie though, right? Like I know you're a fan of it.
Yeah, I like the original movie. This one just doesn't quite pull it. And it's also it's long. Like, it's like 20 minutes longer than the original. And it just drags a little bit.
It's also weird that like they're politically motivated to this one, and then like they were just doing a heist in the first one. Like what?
Well, so yeah, so in the first one, like they were set up to kind of like pull a heist, but it was all about kind of exposing this insurance magnate and his bad deeds to like get him locked up. And it was all like, it was all being pulled behind the scenes by Mark Ruffalo's character. He was the guy in charge of everything, and he was the one that set all that shit up because he was trying to get the people that he felt were responsible for his dad's death. Which is, in this one, they totally write that shit out. It's like, you went after the wrong guy. Like, Morgan Freeman's the guy that ends up in jail at the end of the first one. Turns out he was partners with Ruffalo's dad, and like, they were friends, and he didn't have anything to do with his death. And it's like, it's like completely wipe away the whole reason for the first movie for this nonsense here. But you know, it's still cool watching magic shit happen. So it's fun enough. I wouldn't rush out to watch it.
What's your score for that?
I'll go 3. It's just like kind of middle of the road. So
yeah,
I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing the first one, but I heard that mostly heard that the sequel is not great. But
no, it's just kind of there. Just another movie. And evidently they're making a third one. which I found a little weird.
Didn't it? I thought the second one bombed.
I mean, it didn't do great, but
I don't know.
I guess it did enough that. Well, I would think with the cast they have, though, like Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Morgan Freeman, Jonathan Caine. Is it Jonathan Caine?
Michael Caine?
Michael Caine. Like, I mean, they can't be getting them cheap, right? Like, they're pretty big name actors.
And plus, they're doing like these kind of special effects things, I would imagine, with the magic. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess it still made $330 million worldwide. It bombed here in the U.S. Like, it made half of what it made originally. But it hit the same worldwide total just about. So, yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Well, maybe one day I will see them. You did remind me of a movie I watched this week that I didn't know about. But I just because you mentioned the cast of this one. I rewatched a movie that I'd seen years ago when it came out with Woody Harrelson in it. It's called Game Change. You ever see that?
No.
That is it's a movie about the 2008 election, specifically John McCain's campaign and how they were kind of on the ropes and they decided that Sarah Palin was a good idea.
Is this the HBO Sarah Palin movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Directed by Jay Roach. You have Woody Harrelson as Steve Schmidt, doing his campaign. You have Ed Harris as McCain. You have Julianne Moore in amazing impression of Sarah Palin performance. She just looks and just embodied, and it's like eerie how. It's still, I have a lot of distance now from that campaign, which, you know, I watch all the campaigns pretty closely, like every election I watch pretty closely.
Right.
And this came out, I want to say, it came out in 2012. So it was like 4 years out then. And I was like just blown away by all the details that they got right and all the things I remember and all the reporting that it was spot on. But I've had some distance now from that, and the movie still holds up. It's still really good. Like, it's just really fascinating watching, the inner workings of this campaign and how they took a gamble with Sarah Palin, and it initially seemed to pay off until she had, more access to the media, and people started to realize that she didn't know much, and then people, simultaneously inside the campaign are realizing that she doesn't know anything at all, and they're desperately trying to prepare her for interviews and debates, and they're overwhelming her because she just doesn't know anything, so they're trying to teach her everything when she knows nothing. And I don't know, it's a really cool and I think fair, they don't paint Republicans in a bad light, or even I'd say McCain comes off as very likable in it. It was just they had to make a play that made a play, and it ended up being a, you know, not a good play. But they didn't have, like, they were going to lose anyways. They were trailing bad anyways against Obama. Obama was running a really, really good campaign in 08, and like a revolutionary campaign.
And old white guy, no matter like who they had in as VP, wasn't going to push that needle. So
But, you know, so it was like, it was a bad call, but it was, in many ways, it was like the only one that would give him even a bump or anything, you know, so. I don't know. It's a good movie. If you got like HBO Go, it's on there. I mean, I watched it.
You have that, so
yeah. I think it's, dude, like her performance is like chilling at moments where you're just like, she's like on the verge of like a mental breakdown. And you're like, Julianne Moore's a great actor, you know. So, but she's just doing this crazy impression of Palin. It's great. So, anyways,
cool.
I forgot. Did you see anything else this week?
No, that was it for me.
I checked out a couple other horror movies, and I can talk about them briefly enough. And these are movies I've seen before. These are old. Rewatched Wrong Turn, which I know you're a fan of.
I like the first one.
Yeah.
I've seen them all, but the first one's probably the only one I like.
There's like five of them?
It's up to six, I think.
Okay. So I remember liking it too, and I rewatched it, and I was not impressed, dude. I was just like it felt like a TV movie. None of the actors in it are very good. Like Eliza Dushku, she's fine to look at, but she's given nothing to do.
Never a good actor either.
Yeah, like she's pretty, but like
yeah.
Like, they have the one guy, like, the main guy in it. Like, I was like, man, I really recognize him. And I guess he was in some shows that I watched, like Dexter and stuff. But, yeah, like, they're not great actors. You have Jeremy Sisto, who I like as an actor, but he's not in it much. They're not given anything to do at all. Like, you give no background on these characters. They don't say or do anything interesting.
No, if I remember correctly, like, it starts out with them on the highway, right? Like, and they just end up turning off, like they're trying, like they're in traffic on the highway, and it's backed up for miles.
Yeah,
to turn off, and they end up in no man's land in West Virginia.
Well, it's even worse than that because it's just this one guy who was trying to get to an interview, and so he's taking this back road, and he accidentally hits this other car with all the other actors in it.
Ah,
and then they even asked them like, "Yo, like what that other car was doing out there?" And they're like, "Well, we're camping. I mean, we're lost. That's it. That's the only explanation you get, like, what they're doing. Like, just, and I don't know. It's just, it's fine. It's functional, but it's like,
it's there's like the so many base bare bones premise for a movie.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I think like the mountain men look kind of look cool. Like their makeup, what little glimpses you get of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that they like hunt them with bow and arrows and shit, like really practical shit like that. But like, you're in a genre here with so crowded with so many examples of this movie and so many that do it better.
Because it's basically The Hills Have Eyes. Like,
yeah, and that's a great one to bring up because The Hills Have Eyes is pretty great. And it's super TV movie feeling. Like, it's just, it does nothing to set itself apart. So it's weird because I remember seeing it at the time being impressed with it, and I was like, I don't know what I was impressed with. Rewatching it now.
I do wonder, it's like The Hills Have Eyes, the remake of The Hills Have Eyes by Alexander Aja came out 3 years later.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do wonder if it's like we hadn't gotten a movie like this with this type of kind of antagonist, and it had been a while, and it seemed kind of on the edge at the time. Like now going back, it's like, oh, well, horror is definitely fucking progressed. Like,
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's been a while since we got one of those like kind of you're lost somewhere movies and you're getting hunted by like fucking inbred people, whatever, you know. Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then maybe there was like a blank area where like there wasn't that many of those. I don't know. But and again, earlier tonight, I watched Wolf Creek, which is another like similar type thing. And I don't think it's amazing, but it was like infinitely better than
I think I've seen Wolf Creek's one in Australia, right?
Yeah.
It is kind of similar, where it's like there's a guy, right? Like,
yeah, like you're lost somewhere you don't know, and it's out in the wilderness, and there's like some bad people after you. And yeah, Wolf Creek, it's one guy. I guess it's based off a true story. And I don't know, for one, like Wolf Creek, I guess I'll just get into Wolf Creek now. Wolf Creek is like beautifully shot, like the cinematography, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I do. I remember not liking it
too much,
but it did look, it was a very pretty film.
Oh yeah, like just these beautiful shots of the Australian outback, and it gives you some time to kind of get to know the characters. It takes a while before anything happens. It's almost an hour in before like shit starts going down.
Right.
I don't think that like any of the characters are super interesting or anything, but like you kind of get to like a feel for like hanging out with them a little bit at the very least.
Right.
And then you get to meet the villain before you know he's a villain, and he's like the super charming, like Crocodile Dundee type guy. And like, I don't know, like he's got like a certain charisma to him. Even when he, like, you start to realize, oh God, this guy's like a terrible serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
He's still kind of like cracking jokes, and I don't know, like he's got like, he's definitely got some personality to him. And there's still that like incredible scene. It's the head on a stick scene.
Okay.
Which it was not as like, do you even remember what I'm talking about when I say that? I
think so.
Okay. It didn't quite have the same impact this time, but I guess I knew it was coming, but yeah, it's got some, not as shocking as I remember it, but like just the performance of the villain. That and the cinematography to me, like it's at least like a, probably like a 3-star, like it's a solid horror flick. Whereas Wrong Turn, I was just like, man, this is like
bad.
It's like TV trash. Like it's not like it's functional, but it's like forgettable as all hell. Where Wolf Creek has a little more going.
The Wrong Turn movies get considerably less functional as that series progresses.
Well, the funny thing is, I had found a shrink wrapped 2-pack of it in my DVD collection, so I do have the second one to watch if I ever want to.
That one might be okay. I don't remember thinking it was terrible. Like, yeah. Wrong Turn 3 is straight up, this is like TV shit.
Yeah.
And then they just started dumping them out like nonstop. And they, what's goofy about it, and the reason I kept watching it, is they start, after 2, they start kind of delving into the backstory of the kind of the inbred cannibals. It gets really nonsensical. It's crazy. Yeah,
I'm just amazed that like that's become a series. They must have been super low budget.
And, oh yeah, I'm sure they didn't cost anything. Yeah, the budget for Wrong Turn 2 was $4 million, and they had like Henry Rollins in that, so he's probably your like your biggest name in that one.
In 2, he's in 2?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I guess going back to Wolf Creek, I guess one, there's like a television series of it now that they've made.
I just saw that there's the mini series, or
I don't know. Yeah, like it is based on a real thing, because like if you watch the first Wolf Creek at the end, it like gives you this thing like, you know, such and such, you know, was held for suspicion of being the killer. Like it gives you like all these facts after, like you're like, okay, what the fuck? I guess it really was real. Okay. So anyways, yeah. I guess I'll probably watch Wolf Creek 2 now because it's on Netflix. So I can stream that shit.
Maybe I'll give it a go this weekend.
It has the same guy too in it. Like that villain, I do think like he's interesting. Like that guy's performance is pretty cool. So yeah, I don't know. I've been digging through some random ass horror movies. I'm sure I'll have more for you probably next week, actually. And you brought it up this episode. Since I noticed the theme in what I've been watching, and I'm showing these to my girlfriend for her first time, we're gonna watch The Hills Have Eyes. So
okay. That's a good one.
That's a really good one, if I recall correctly.
I've seen that maybe in the last couple of years, like, and I thought it was still really good.
I was going to show her, too, The Devil's Rejects, kind of in the same vein, a little bit. Like
a little bit.
And I don't know how, but, like, I look through my DVD collection. I must have a box somewhere where it's in, because it's not in my, like, shelf with my DVDs. Like, that's, like, everybody who was a horror fan early 2000s had that motherfucker on DVD, and I know I had it, and I don't know where the hell it went. Maybe I borrowed it. I have no idea. And I added it to my Netflix queue, and it's very long wait. How is that possible?
Yeah. That is weird. But we'll see. Speaking of Devil's Rejects, though, Rob Zombie has a new film coming out, and I may try to see that at some point.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely see it at some point. Well, I don't know if it's going to get a very wide release or
what. It doesn't sound like it, like, at all.
It doesn't sound great either. Like, I don't know. I'm so mixed on him, man.
I've read a review that actually was pretty positive on it, so.
I've heard from
a major publication, so.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is kind of neat. Like, it's kind of like a Running Man style thing. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, and evidently, well, like, this critic kind of, like, viewed it as some sort of social commentary that Rob Zombie didn't really realize he was making.
Like, well, that's an interesting take, I guess. It seems like he's kind of going back to the well a little bit. Like, oh, we're going to have psycho clowns. And
yeah.
I don't know. I always, like, hope for him to grow and get better. And it seemed like he was going that way with that weird-ass witch movie. What the hell?
Lords of Salem.
Yeah. I think it was great, but it was like,
it's interesting.
He was trying to do something mature there, you know, like where the characters the characters don't talk like rednecks every fucking two seconds. And but I didn't love that one either, so it's weird. I don't know. I'm so mixed on him. Like, I do think The Devil's Rejects is a blast, but like,
and will
you ever top that? Or
I think House of a Thousand Corpses is okay. Like, it is what it's a super low budget,
yeah,
gore fest, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. He seems like he's got like one trick up his sleeve or something, and then like he can't figure out how to write characters. And I don't know. Yeah, like, I want to think
that
better.
That's a major problem that he has.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm interested to see it, but I hope one day he like figures this shit out, because he obviously loves horror movies and like visually, like, he's interesting. Yeah. But
well, and there are people in the industry that like think he's good at it. Like,
in my opinion, he's not a great writer. Like, he's good visually. He needs better material, and he needs to like do character work, like both in his writing or if someone else gave him a script. Like, he doesn't seem to understand or give a shit about characters. Like, they're all just cartoon characters, you know. Like, right. Even his wife, like he doesn't give her great roles. They're always cartoony. Like. So I don't know. One day maybe we'll get it. We'll see.
Yep.
He's obviously serious about it. He keeps making movies. Like, he obviously cares, and he's trying to do good movies. But I think The Devil Rejects is the only one that I think is a pretty like solid horror movie. And I guess the remake of Halloween, like, if you accept the fact that it's not like the original Halloween, it's like its own thing, it's okay. But
right.
Dear Lord, not the sequel, though. What the fuck?
Such a bad movie.
It's so bad. I've heard people say they like that. Huh?
I like the opening 10-15 minutes, which is like the super speed run of the original Halloween.
Like a truncated version of the whole actual sequel, yeah.
But after she wakes up, oh my god.
Like, yeah.
Takes such a nosedive. Anyway, I guess we'll have some stuff for next week.
We'll see. Are you planning to see anything in the theater?
I don't know if there's anything coming out. Like,
there's nothing I was really interested in, but I'm starting to hear like really good things about Sully, and so I don't know.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Tom Hanks. So,
oh, you're not a Tom Hanks fan?
No, I don't particularly like Tom Hanks at all.
I don't know. I like Clint Eastwood as a director. Like, I don't know, some things he says, like, and just always support the Republicans. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Generally, his movies are good. Yeah. Generally, his movies are good, though. Like, dude,
they are.
Like, Mystic River, fucking even, like, I liked American Sniper even. I thought that was really good. And so
guy knows how to frame a shot and tell a story.
He's got the nice piano score. Yeah, I don't know.
And I can stomach Tom Hanks. It's like, I'm not super intrigued by this story here.
That's the thing I don't get. It's like, you look at the trailers for it, and they're like doing this big investigation, and it's like, in the media, he was only heralded as a hero, as far as I remember. Like, it was never like...
I don't remember him being... Like, maybe there was a behind the scenes where he was kind of being... But, I mean, that wasn't public, so... I mean, I guess maybe bringing it public now, like, is interesting, but... I only remember the guy being like, oh, he saved everybody. Like,
yeah, yeah. So, like, where's, like, the story the there? Yeah, right. Like... But I heard, like, I watched a review right before we started, and they're like, it's a really good, like, mean 96-minute movie, and, like, there's no bullshit. It gets right into it. Like, you're right into, like, the plane, like, accident, like, right into the
beginning. Land it,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, if it gets right into it, and it's in, it's out, and it's, like, good performance, and it's, they find some sort of drama in it, maybe. Like, there's got to be something there. Why the fuck? I don't get it, but... But yeah, I probably won't be running out to see it. I will see it at some point, but
yeah, I think that's what I'm going to wait on. If I happen to like see it at some point, I will. But yeah, I'm not rushing out. Yeah. But Blair Witch is in 2 weeks, so
yeah, that's the next big episode. We might spend the whole episode on that.
But, yeah.
For next week, I have no guarantees. I might start watching that 11-22-63 show, which was based on the Stephen King book.
Yep.
I might see Clown. I don't know. It depends on what Netflix sends me. So,
all right,
we'll see.
Sounds good. I guess we'll be back next week.
Maybe with something.
Something.
Maybe. Possibly. Movie dudes.
Do-do-do-do-do.